RadioInfluence.com.
This is Landry Football on Radio Influence, the only podcast where you can get perspective of what happened on the gridiron through the eyes of a coach, scout, and front office administrator. Now, it's time to step into the film room. Here's Chris Landry.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Landry Football Podcast for this Thursday, September 3rd. We hope you are well and safe. We've got a football this weekend. We had a little football last weekend, as we said on last week's show. We opened it up with a college football game. We have a couple of games on Thursday night and a handful of games on Saturday and on Labor Day night, BYU Navy. And folks, we're a week away, this Sunday, a week away from the start of the NFL season. So we've got a lot to get to. We want to talk a little bit about what's going on. I want to spend some time. It was suggested to me of a topic that wanted to address, and I think it's a good one. So I'm going to spend a little time going into some detail about how jobs in football have changed this season due to COVID, due to, quite frankly, the racial strife that we have in the country now. We're gonna touch on that and what's happened, what's changed. How has it changed for me in what I'm doing as a consultant? It's a lot of things that are different. We've touched a little bit on that on this show here and now, but I'm going to go into a little bit more detail. I think that it is something that's been brought up a few times before, so we definitely want to make sure that we do that. Also, some great news. Going to tell you about great new member of the family, FanDuel. And this podcast is brought to you by the great folks at FanDuel. More on that in a little bit. But I want to touch on something that I think is current that people are interested in and it's had some maybe some confusion over in the NFL about the Leonard Fournette situation with Jacksonville and the fact that he was released and the discussions by Jacksonville that they couldn't trade him and people questioning that, not understanding that. And I thought it brought a good thing to the table to explain a little bit how this process goes. And I think most of you are well aware of it. Sometimes we just forget about it or don't think about it. But when you are dealing with a player in the NFL, when you're dealing with moving a player, releasing a player, trying to trade them, you're not trading the player alone. You're trading his contract. So when you have a player like Leonard Fournette that, let's call it like it is, he's not been popular in that locker room. He's certainly not been popular with the coaching staff, not been popular with the front office. Well, not the only person that's had that. That's not that big of an issue, but it is factoring in, no question. They are rebuilding in Jacksonville. Some may be just rebuilding for the future and maybe destroying their teams in some people their team in some people's eyes. All those things are legitimate questions, concerns, and comments. But as it relates to Leonard, it's somebody that they've been trying to trade. And they are correct. No one was willing to trade for Leonard Fournette. Why? Again, the contract. Relative, and he has had some production. He's had played well at times. But people in the league know a lot of things that the public and the media does not know about a player, about work ethic, about a lot of things, character. Leonard had a lot of problems and maturity issues. The LSU coaches were very frustrated with him. And quite frankly, as talented as he was, couldn't wait to get him out of the building there. Talked to Tom Coughlin about him before they drafted him. And remember at that time, they're building that great defense in Jacksonville. And they're going to be a physical run team and get a good power back. Yes, sir, he is that. If you can get his head on straight and if you can get him to mature. He looks physically mature. He looks 48 in the face. He's not been someone that you can rely on from a maturity and a work ethic standpoint, pure and simple. So with that said, with that understanding, is they've had problems in Jacksonville. And I'm not here to say that it's all Leonard Fournette's fault and it's all – there's always two sides to the story. But the reality is there is a risk factor if you trade for a player like Leonard Fournette that has a good bit left on his contract and you're going to absorb that. You do not want that. Now, are there people interested? Were there people interested before you signed with the Bucks? Absolutely. But the Bucks weren't interested in trading for him. The Bucks or any other team didn't even claim him on waivers. Let me explain this. Until you're a vested veteran, when you get released before being a vested veteran, you have to clear waivers, which means anybody in the league can claim you, but they have to pick up your contract if they claim you. No one claimed him. So not only was no one interested in trading for him, no one was interested in claiming his contract. Understand that. There are people other than the Bucks that were intrigued by his talent, and perhaps we can get him on the right track and become the player that he's capable of being. Perhaps we can do that. Perhaps we can be that. But we're going to do it on our terms. So when a player clears waivers, he is then free to sign with anyone and negotiate a new deal. Well, it's, again, with the terms of the team as opposed to the previous team's contract, more people were interested. And that led the Bucks were interested in signing him. Those are things that I think are pretty normal, but yet you had all sorts of things and all sorts of questions. That's not the, – the Jaguars are just a rotten organization. Well, that may be true. Be that as it may, oh, I can't believe that no one wanted to trade for him. That's just stupidity, ignorance of understanding anything about the pro game and how the administrative part of it works. You may be very interested in the player. You may have zero interest in the contract. That is why, you know, vested veterans don't have to clear waivers, but that's why oftentimes players who are not traded get signed for a different contract. And in a case, again, of a non-vested veteran, have to clear waivers. The other thing that you need to know, and I think everyone most people understand this, shouldn't say everyone, most people understand this, that if you know a player is likely headed towards being released, you're less likely to trade for. Unless it's a player you really like and you're in a contract you really like, then I might be willing to give up a 7th-round pick, particularly if I have multiple ones, or a 6th-round pick if I have multiple ones, because I like the contract and I think other people are going to like him and I may be able to get him cheaper if I absorb that good contract and that good player, as opposed to negotiating and bidding against other teams for his services. So the other thing you hear is, well, no one's going to trade for him if they know he's going to be released. That's true to a point. But to the point of, well, if you got a really good player that you like and a really good contract that you like that you think is more beneficial to you than the contract you could have to make for him in competition with others for his services, you have to weigh that. So that's a strategic maneuver. Look, I think most people understand that now. Those of us that have worked in the league, we live this world every day. But we're also in a world of, you know, everybody's got a podcast and everybody's got a thought and everybody's got a favorite player and a favorite team. But we got credentialed media people that are making ignorant comments that just have no clue what they're talking about. And again, reporter, football coach, scout, executive, completely different. I get that. I don't expect them to know that, but you would expect that maybe they would source it out a little bit more. But we're living in a world of misinformation anyway. And I just wanted to kind of clear that, not just to talk about Leonard per se, but Leonard was the most recent example. This happens a lot. So follow that. And if you got any questions, always LandryFootball.com, hit contact Chris, and we'll address it, whether it's on this or any other matter related to scouting, coaching, personnel, X's and O's, administrative issues, NFL, college. On to the college game. The big news has been a couple of opt-outs, well-known players. LSU had Ja'Marr Chase, a really good receiver that's going to be drafted very high, opt-out. A little bit later than we thought, you have a Tyler Shelvin, a really good defensive lineman, but there's a little bit of a youth movement going on at LSU on the defensive side. Bo Pelini coming in, liking more of the younger guys, liking more of, we're running a 4-3 front, not as much read and react. A guy like Tyler Shelvin kind of realizes that. It's staring him in the face after enough practices. I'm going to sit out and live off of what my film was last year because I don't know what type of role I'm going to have in Bo Pelini's defense this year. So that is kind of the reason why. There's also some interesting things going on, and we'll get into this in a little bit with, you know, a lot of players and still a couple of more. The coaching staff at LSU tell me that may still be leaving yet. Then Jamie Newman, the quarterback at Georgia, decides that he's coming out. That was a little bit surprising. What is the reason? Well, I always say this year, any player that opt out is going to have a COVID cover. Whether it is due to COVID or not, it can be explained and accepted as a realistic way to go about understanding why somebody wants to leave her. I don't know the Jamie Newman situation of why. Was he, look, he was the presumptive starter. He's been there the entire offseason in virtual work, of course, not physical work. I get that. But he's been there the longest. DeJuan Mathis is a young quarterback that they like. JT Daniels really hasn't been approved for a lot of the physical work yet. So I don't know that it was like he was losing the job or wasn't going to win the job or felt like he wasn't going to win it or wasn't comfortable. I know this, that there are agents that are in the players' ears and are in the family members' ears as it relates to coming out, protecting yourself. Don't get injured. Don't get sick. Don't get caught up in a weird season where your stats not met me as good, which again, stats are not how we draft guys, but those things become problematic, comes confusing, and there's a lot of pressure the kids. So it was a little bit surprising from a football standpoint because I do believe Newman has some ability to be developed, but I do believe that he needs time to develop. And I thought a really good year this year at Georgia would help him out. And he's not going to have that. Reminder that at LandryFootball.com, we've not only have all this information, but a lot of film room news, notes, nuggets, news from around college campuses, what coaches are talking about in their practices, NFL camps, what's going on with personnel moves, contract negotiations, practices. We've got all of it for you in our notebooks. We're going to have game previews, of course, as the games are approaching. Also have scouting reports on the class of 2022 and 2023 in high school football. Scouting reports that you can learn about the players in the next two classes. And we've certainly have 2021s up there, had it for a while. We'll update that as the year goes along. But and the high school football season progresses. But so check it all out at LandryFootball.com. Great offer, great opportunity. Try it out for a month. Get a better discount for a year. Whatever you would like can absolutely do that. So check it out today. Great news from our friends at FanDuel. And this podcast, Landry Football Podcast, today is brought to you by FanDuel. And this season, there's a brand new way to play fantasy football on FanDuel. Introducing Best Ball Contest, the simplest way to play season-long fantasy. In a Best Ball Contest, there's no lineups to set, no waivers to claim, no trades to make. Simply draft 20 players at the start of the season. Then, every week, You'll automatically get points for your top nine performers at set positions. At the end of the season, the team with the top scores take home the cash. So, look, it is so exciting to be able to kind of build your team, participate. You got to make some good decisions, tough decisions. There's obviously a unique year, but it's less management. It's a different strategy. No waiver wires. It's really going to be a lot of fun. Best ball contests have 12 player max, so don't worry if you're not a seasoned fantasy pro. And if you want to try your hand at best ball, you can enter a free contest or play for as little as a dollar. If you're new to FanDuel, you can even get a 20% bonus on your first deposit, up to $500, when you sign up at FanDuel.com. That's FanDuel.com/Landry, all caps, LANDRY. So be sure to go to FanDuel.com/Landry to start drafting for best ball at FanDuel. We've had, as everyone knows, a tremendous change societally, health-wise, the pandemic, everything that's caused a lot of issues. And I've been asked to talk about how it's affected coaches, scouts, administrators. And to do that, we'll start from an administrative standpoint. And we'll take both college and the NFL. When this hit in March, we know administratively in college and coaching too, it affected spring practice. We know it affected the college basketball tournament. And even though this is pursuant to football conversation, we need to recognize that the money that comes in from the NCAA basketball tournament is tremendous. So that was lost. You lose spring practice, which was not a financial loss, but was a competitiveness and developmental loss. And then obviously it's led and bled into a preparation for a season in which we're not going to have as many fans or no fans or some fans or a lot less money coming in. It's affected administratively in college on people on your staff. We've had some cases furloughs, some cases cutbacks, some cases job losses, even in some extreme cases, programs that have been shut down. Other athletic programs, non-football, basketball, that are non-revenue. So it's financial loss there. From an NFL standpoint, administratively, it affected how we did our entire pre-draft process and our free agent process. So we had to do things virtually. We couldn't meet with the players. We were fortunate enough to get the combine in. We don't know about this year yet, combine-wise. And bringing guys in for meetings in the free agent process, that was affected. That had to be done virtually as well. I don't think it had a tremendous impact on whether a player came or not, so that wasn't as big of a factor. But what has had a big factor is for both college and the NFL, no spring practice developmental-wise. It's been virtual teaching. The NFL, same thing. Virtual teaching. No hands-on development. No hands-on teaching. Difficult to develop relationships, difficult to develop continuity. And remember, you've got new players on the team. You've got new players involved, free agency, what have you. All of those things that are really important. It's created a difficult teaching environment. Now, as we go to this point, we have gotten to where practices are allowed in college. Practices are going on in the NFL. We just discussed, we've got games on the horizon. It's affected a little bit how they meet, the spacing, social distancing as much as possible, wearing masks wherever possible, protecting one another wherever possible, not a complete bubble a la NHL, NBA, but a controlled environment. The biggest difference in why the NFL has had a lot of success in controlling it better is they're testing every day in the NFL. Now, they're spending a whole lot of money to do this. They can afford to do this. Not doing that in college. Therefore, it's tougher to keep the spread going in college than it is in the NFL. Okay, but the teaching is still the teaching, but it is not with the benefit of having the off-season preparation leading into it. But the teaching now, as players are there and you're face-to-face, you're able to teach in a normal setting, but you're having to play catch-up. You're having to try to get guys ready physically to not overwork them so as to enhance injuries potential, but also to work them enough to get them ready for a week from now when you're damn sure going to be hit. That's tough. That's tough to do. It's kind of like trying to prepare for a long-distance run like a marathon, but you can't really – you got to get ready in a short period. It takes a little bit longer period to acclimate your body to doing it. And this is what's going on from a teaching standpoint. And so it's compressed teaching. So what do we mean? What does this mean, Chris? What are we going to see? I think we're going to see maybe a little bit more sloppy football early. I mean, we always do, but maybe more so this year. I think you perhaps compress some of the things you do. And what I mean by that is game plans, installs, simplify wherever needed, wherever dictated. Meaning you got a veteran team, experienced quarterback, you can run a little bit more. New players, a new system, you're only as good as your weakest link. So you might have returning quarterback, returning receivers, but if you can't get the protections down, it doesn't work. So you have to work towards your weakest link, and then you have to work to get your weakest link better. And you have to do that in unison. And it is the job from a coaching and a personnel standpoint to figure that out. But I do think we're going to have some issues. What are the biggest issues? The biggest issues are going to be tackling and blocking. Why? That's the physical element of the game. And that is things that have not been worked at quite as closely. And as a result, that's going to be behind. What is going to be better than that is probably going to be some of the timing with routes and throwing, particularly where they have spent a lot of time running routes, working on timing. So that's kind of what we're dealing with from a coaching standpoint. And that's what we're dealing with from an administrative standpoint of how do you do things in your building in both college football operation centers in the NFL. You want to make sure all the media stuff is done virtually. You don't want the media people around. And nobody in college or NFL is complaining about that, trust me. Second, you want to keep as many people away as possible, meaning coaches, trainers, equipment guys have to be there with the players. But I think, you know, anybody that's not essential, not going to be at practice. Shouldn't be at practice. I had to go to a couple of practices just consulting, and I kind of stayed my distance, and it did what I was asked to do from an evaluation standpoint. It is scarce because you want to limit that. You want to limit contact. So front office people administratively, you keep, you know, any people that you don't have salespeople and kind of even limit maybe media relations. I mean, you just got to try to get non-essential people out of the mix, so to speak, in terms of contact to where it only needs to be the people that have to be there. Trainers have to be with the players. Equipment guys have to provide a service to the players. Coaches have to be there. But even scouts don't need to be that close with them. They don't need to be, you know, you're not scouts and coaches. Even some of them have done virtual meetings to where they're not together. So that's kind of how things have been done administratively in organizations, college and pro. Now, from a scouting standpoint, what has happened there? Here's what's different. I'm going to go back to no preseason games. Significant in terms of roster analysis, roster development, roster improvement. You do not have preseason games in which to evaluate players on other teams. The way it works, You have all of your scouts going to all of these preseason games, looking at certain players, players that you think are going to be on the bubble to make the roster of a certain team, but might be able to help you. Maybe it's that last defensive lineman or offensive lineman or return guy or special teams guy that might be a better fit than you. You do that off of film, but you need to try to see as much of that as person impossible. Well, you don't have that. You don't have the film of the game or the live game because there are no preseason games. So how does that affect your roster? Well, you're basically are making your roster decisions, each and every team in the NFL, based upon what you have done in your practice, how teachable you feel the guys are through the virtual teachings in the offseason, and largely, if they're a young guy in their first year, largely off of your college recruiting evaluation coming into the league. That's what you're making your decision on, pure and simple. You don't have anything else to go on. Man, he played great against the Raiders in the second week of preseason. You don't have any of that. Here's the other thing. In your evaluation to what players make your roster, you are reliant upon just practices, scrimmage, situations. You don't have the ability to evaluate your players in preseason games because, again, they are not. Seeing how a guy responds under the pressure, the moments of a game, be it preseason, live action, can't see it. Not there. You have to adjust. So it affects the roster makeup there from a scouting standpoint. Here's the other thing that will have long-ranging effects for the season. As you might imagine, this is the time of the year as the regular season is beginning, closing in on in the NFL. Scouts are leaving camp and going to head out to college campuses to begin their fall scouting of prospects for next year's draft. Right now, that's all on hold. You're not allowed to go on college campuses. That may change depending upon, you know, who, you know, their situations, state by state, health regulations, what have you. But that's one of the groups of people that are not going to be able to get access and go because they can't see them. So, how have the scouts adjusted? What have we done in that regard? Well, in training camp, when practices and film grades not going on, scouts have been spending a lot of time on Zoom calls with pro liaison coaches around the country. So, they'll get on a Zoom call at a certain school and go over all the players that are eligible for the 2021 draft, get all the background information, just as you would do it face-to-face on your school visit. But now you got to do it virtually. You try to do it as best you can before they get too busy, but you're going to have to follow up with them at some point as well to get updates on what's going on with the kid's life and so on and so forth. So you have to get the background information as best you can virtually. So the things that you got only by in-person visits, going visit with people on campus that knows these guys, getting all the information from the trainers, team doctors, the pro liaisons, the strength coach, you got to do that virtually. Tougher to coordinate that than when you're on campus. You can pull them aside, get some good information, you know, face-to-face, a little bit better environment. Can't do that. So they have to work on get all the background information virtually, and then they're going to have to do their work by film. They look at, obviously, last year's film, and then, obviously, as this season starts, they're going to look at this year's film for the schools that are playing. And that's how they're going to have to do it. If things open up, state by state, school by school, what have you, then you're going to be able to go and take a school visit and see a practice in person. Talk face-to-face with the people on campus that you need to. Those are things that are going on right now from a scouting standpoint. And it could be, again, virtual, everybody breaking down their areas. So it would appear that your West Coast scouts are not going to be opened up. It does not appear that California schools are not going to be open for scout visits. So what you're going to do is use your resources, get as much information as you can. You look at last year's tape, but if the Pac-12 and the Mountain West don't play, there are no games to evaluate this year. So your evaluations that you wrote up based upon what they did last year and previous years, however many years they've played, that's your evaluation. And there will be nothing more added to that unless we get to an all-star game situation, a combine situation where we can add those exposures to it. So what do the West Coast scouts do if there's no Mountain West or Pac-12 or any other West Coast football? Well, you use those resources of those scouts to get more people looking at the schools that are playing. And, of course, the same thing could be said of Big Ten, you know, scouts that cover and scout the Big Ten area. Well, you got more people looking at the schools that are playing. And then so you'll get more eyeballs on them. So you go where the games are played, and you go evaluate, and you evaluate in person, but you evaluate the tape. If you, just like no preseason games, if you have no games to evaluate this fall, you're not evaluating that. You're evaluating what they've done to this point, and you have to live with what you have with the exposure that you have at this point. So it's been an adjustment for everyone. Someone has asked, how does it affect you? Well, it's affected me in this way. Everything's all virtual, which most of it is for me anyway. So it's affected me less than most folks. So please, no worries about me. No sympathy for me. But it does have an effect. You know, for example, I look at more practice tape now, as opposed to maybe getting out to a few more practices. So that's changed a little bit. Not a big deal. But it does affect some of the other things. As I said, I was asked to make a couple of appearances, and that was requested for me to go by the teams that asked me to, but most didn't require it, and I'm frankly grateful for that. And it makes it difficult. Just like anything else, it has a tremendous impact just doing things virtually. The scouting game, the evaluation game is mostly on film. But you augment some very important qualities in the evaluation process with players' backgrounds, their character evaluation, their football character, their personal character. Getting to know people on campus that can give you information that you don't share with anyone else other than in your walls of your building on how you're going to evaluate the player. And I know a lot of that stuff gets out publicly, but try to keep that in-house. All those things are tougher to do virtually. You can make a phone call, have people sell numbers. You can do certain things, and you got to do it. Look, it's just no different than any other world. So as I kind of wrap this up and explain it and put a bow on it, it's no different than any other business. How many of you out there have had to adjust to what you do and how it's affected your job and affected your life? I don't think it's been a big deal at all, comparatively speaking, to a lot of folks. At least these guys have jobs. At least these guys can – there are ways you can do it. I think what it's done – is it's opened the door that, you know what, there's another way to do some of this stuff. We can do a lot of this virtually. And if people are comfortable with it, not that it's going to replace the in-person visits. That's not going to be the be-all, the end-all. But you certainly, it has taken people that maybe did not know what Zoom was, did not know how to have a virtual meeting, and it's given them a lot of practice to where, okay, I know how to do that. I can do that, and maybe going forward, in addition to the in-person meetings, you can have some private meetings virtually, phone calls. So we've all learned a lot. We've all had to make adjustments and make those adjustments accordingly, depending on how it affects us. And it does affect everyone differently. Hey, I appreciate you joining us again. Check out our great folks at FanDuel. We appreciate them bringing you this podcast. Again, if you're new to FanDuel, you can even get a 20% bonus on your first deposit, up to $500 when you sign up at FanDuel.com/Landry. Be sure to go to FanDuel.com/Landry to start drafting for the best ball at FanDuel. Less management, different strategy, no waiver wires, brand new way to play fantasy football. I'm excited. Get excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hey, talk to you next week, everybody. It's been Chris Landry for another edition of the Landry Football Podcast, part of LandryFootball.com.
To get more of Chris's knowledge, visit and subscribe to LandryFootball.com. You can also find him on Twitter at LandryFootball. This has been Landry Football on Radio Influence.
Radio Influence strives to bring you excellence in podcasting. We work with personalities like TV chef Brian Duffy, radio personalities like Ian Beckles, news and political pundits like independent journalists Frank and Tracy Beans, experts from the sports world like veteran football scout and coach Chris Landry, pro wrestling personality David Penzer, MMA experts Jason Floyd and Daniel Galvan, and strength and conditioning coach Jeff Crochelle. If you're looking for food, sports, music, entertainment, politics, no matter the topic, Radio Influence has something for everyone. All of Radio Influence's programming can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Podcasts, and RadioInfluence.com.